This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to be playing for you here these next few weeks some segments from a show that I have the privilege of doing in Dallas with a doctor, Dr. Lewis Coates. And he has a family medical practice there in the Dallas area. And he just brings some great information, and I wanted to share it with our Haystack audience here as well. So again, he is not a local doctor. He's out of the Garland, Texas area, but just great health information. So we're going to join that conversation now with Dr. Lewis Coates. How are you, sir?
Doing wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Man, it's always good to have you. It seems like these days come very quickly in between shows, but man, I'm glad because a lot of great information, and we've gotten a ton of responses from folks that you have helped. And, you know, last night I saw a post that you did, and boy, kind of reflecting back, and I tell you, time is a weird thing in itself, but when you think back that it was about a year ago that all this started closing in on us, in some ways it seems like it's been 10 years what we've been through, in other ways it seems like it's only been a few months. But man, just some thoughts on reflecting back over the year for you.
Yeah, it's been a really crazy year. And you know, you look back, because that's basically what I was doing that other day, is, you know, the first post I did on COVID on my Facebook page was March 5th of 2020. So that was when it started making the news. The cases were now up, you know, in the United States, and people were getting concerned. We started to see, not just in Washington, but other states popping up with cases, and people started calling the clinic, just blowing up the phones. And we really didn't have the manpower to answer everyone's questions. You know, you can't field a 1,000 phone calls in a day. It's just not possible. So
sure.
I told the girls to tell when people call, just tell them that we'll write down the questions and the most popular ones we'll answer on Facebook. They can look it up tonight and I'll just answer them, because a lot of the questions were the same.
Right.
And so, you know, on March the 5th, I went through some of the, you know, more common questions, and you know, and next thing you know, it was blowing up, and you know, people, they were sharing it with friends, and you know, so pretty soon I got questions from all over the state, and it just got out of control. But you know, that the last year, you think back where we were a year ago, and it was just kind of starting to round up, you know, start up in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And as doctors, we really didn't know a whole lot. You know, we're out there reading and trying to research what's going on. And, you know, it started, you know, really hitting the news in December when it was in China. And pretty soon in January, it spread to Europe. And next thing you know, in February, we started having cases here in the U.S. So, you know, it spread fast. And, you know, in today's society, the way people are traveling by airplane, and you know, these viruses can spread a lot faster than in ancient times, where it was hard for, you know, borders had a tendency to slow down the spread because
right,
people didn't travel from place to place like they do now. And this thing really spread fast, and all it takes is one case in on one continent, and it just seems to spread throughout the area. And at that time, you know, as physicians, you know, we were relying on data coming from China, and mm-hmm, we had to learn on the fly.
Man,
you know,
no
what is this virus? And you know, initially the coronavirus historically has been transmitted fecal orally, which means you catch it and then you don't wipe your hand, clean your hands good in the bathroom, and you shake someone's hand or you share food with them, and then that's how it spreads. And that's what we were told initially, how this virus spread. When we saw it spreading so fast in Europe, it was obvious that this was not the standard traditional coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was obvious that it was spreading through respiratory manners, which later we learned was respiratory droplets. And, you know, at that time, you know, we really didn't know. And we were trying to figure out what to tell people, what, you know, what's real, what's not real, what's true. you know, there was so much misinformation out there and scare tactics that were going on.
And I think that's where a lot of frustration level came out for you, probably you as well, for people, right?
For sure. And as physicians, you know, we rely on the information we get in the medical journals to be accurate. And just even some of that information was not completely accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, found out that, you know, information was being fudged or, you know, made for media purposes just so they could, you know, grab a headline and get people to tune in. You know, everybody's wanting you to just, to think back to a year ago, you know, the media was, you know, everybody was tuned in to CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News 24/7.
Absolutely.
So they were making a killing on advertising, and, you know, their ratings are going through the roof, so that they want to continue to scare you and make things out, you know, so you'll keep tuning in, you know, because that's how they make their living is through television ratings. So, you know, I would tell patients back then, turn off the news, you know, let's just rely on what we know. And let's stop watching the headlines, because the headlines a lot of times were misleading. And some of them, you know, were even by our own, you know, medical societies. You know, it was a big mistake initially to tell people not to wear masks, you know, and they were doing it because they were scared that everyone's going to buy up all the masks and there wouldn't be any for hospitals and clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge mistake. You look back on that a year ago, and it gave this misconception that, the masks don't do anything because we don't know how to use them right, so it doesn't really matter. And, you know, I think that was a big mistake by Fauci and his crew to go out and do that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then when they come out later and want people to use masks, people are like, wait a minute, you said 2 months ago they didn't work.
Right.
And I get patients in the clinic that, you know, would adamantly argue that masks, you know, don't work and that, you know, they're of no value whatsoever. And that's absolutely not true. You know, are they 100% protective? Absolutely not. Even an N95 mask is not 100% protective.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly decreases. You know, we've got plenty of studies now showing that masks protect the person wearing the mask by about 30-some percent, depending on which data you want to look at, 30 to 40%. And they protect the people, the person on the other side, about 70%. Okay, so, you know, even if both of you are wearing a mask, it doesn't guarantee that no one will get ill, but it certainly reduces the chances. And and you can see that by, you know, for instance, you know, for 9 months I was seeing patients face to face a lot of times with COVID, and you know, I didn't contract it until my wife ended up getting it.
Right.
And of course, I'm not wearing a mask around her, and so, you know, that certainly, that's how I ended up catching the virus. But, you know, we look back on this last year and look at the percentages now. You know, we have about approximately, according to the newest data, 23% of Americans have had at least one COVID vaccine. And, you know, that was something a year ago. People always ask, if you think we'll have a vaccine, you know, by the end of the year? And, you know, because typical, you know, time frame is 5 to 7 years.
Sure.
And I would tell, and I was telling people then, yes, I do believe by the end of the year we'll definitely have a vaccine that we're able to provide.
No, you said it on this show. Yeah.
Yeah, and that turned out to be true. And that, you know, and I think people, the media, you know, was particularly portraying that, oh, there's no way this will happen, and this is ridiculous to people to think that we can do things in this time frame. And no, I mean, science, you know, the medical community, I think, really stepped up during this pandemic. And I don't think a lot of people understand that time and effort that was put in by scientists and doctors across the entire world to figure out how to fight this virus in a short amount of time.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, typically this, think of the amount of information we know just 1 year later. And think of other diseases, how it took 10, 15, 20, 30 years sometimes to gather that kind of information, and particularly to develop an effective vaccine in that time frame.
Right. You're listening to Better Health with Dr. Lewis Coates. My name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you are with us. So these new strains now that we're hearing a little bit about out of South Africa, different things like that, I don't know. should I say, do they concern you? I know as a medical doctor, yeah, they concern you. But I mean, what are your feelings just on these new strains right now?
Well, I think any time a virus mutates, and that's the normal pattern for viruses, is they mutate. And any time a virus mutates, it is concerning. But the good news is, being that the virus attacks the spike protein, which is how the virus enters your body, that there should still be some effectiveness, okay? There might be a slight decrease, and we've seen that, I think one of the studies, there was a 2.5-fold decrease. So it might be a little less effective, but it still should have some effectiveness. And the way I tell people about a spike protein is, you think of it, it's the way the virus enters your cell. So think of it like the front door of your house, okay? And if you're making antibodies to the front door of your house, it doesn't matter if you change homes and you go to another home and your house may be one story, your neighbor's house is two story, it still sees a door as the door, okay? And let's pretend that all homes just have one door. Let's eliminate the back doors for simplicity purposes. But if you imagine that you go to any house you want to, people don't have trouble identifying the front door, okay? It may be slightly curved. One of them may have, wrought iron on it. But when you look at it, you go, that looks like a door to me, okay? And so what this vaccine is doing is it's putting instructions in your body on how to make doors, okay? So when you get the vaccine, you're going to have an instruction of how to make doors. You give that to the ribosomes in your cell, and they're going to produce all these doors inside your body. Your body's going to say, hey, we're not supposed to have doors inside our body, and it's going to destroy these doors. As it destroys these doors, it makes a set of instructions that it puts in these cells called plasma cells, which are memory cells, and it says, hey, if you ever see doors, this is the best way to kill them, okay? And so once you have that information, you can go down the street to 25 different homes, and while the outside may be different, if you still destroy the door, you can't enter the house very good. And there may be exceptions, and that's kind of where the mutations come in, where maybe it's a set of double doors and you didn't destroy both of them completely, and some people can still walk around the pile of debris and get in the house, okay? But for the most part, if you destroy the door, you inhibit the virus's ability to get into your cells, and that's basically what we're doing. So even as it mutates, there still should be some effectiveness, because unless it just totally changes the spike protein, then your body's going to say, hey, wait a minute, that looks like the doors that we're supposed to kill, and it'll go destroy it. So I'm not overly concerned, but certainly there is some level of concern as the virus mutates, but I still believe that vaccine will have some effectiveness. And that's what makes this vaccine unique, being an mRNA vaccine, is it's not trying to identify the whole house like our traditional vaccines do.
Right.
Because when traditionally we give you a dead copy of a virus or an inactivated copy, basically meaning think of it like a alligator with no teeth. Okay, we rip all the teeth out and then you can go pet it and touch it and it's not going to hurt you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we give people those types of viruses, and you make antibodies to the entire house, not just the door. So as you go from one house to the other, the body's going to say, wait a minute, this is two-story. The other one was one-story. I don't know if this is the same thing, so let's not attack that, okay? And so being it more specific to just the door, we have a better chance of the mutations not decreasing the effectiveness too much. Now, it might affect it a little bit, but I still believe there'll be some effectiveness of the vaccine as we go forward.
Right. Now, here recently, Texas, several other states have released are releasing the mask mandate. And while businesses can certainly still, I guess, require you to wear one, just in your opinion, from the medical side, too early to do that? Or
yeah, I believe so. I mean, from a medical perspective, certainly it's time to start opening things back up.
Sure.
I do think that's the case. I think a smarter decision would have been, hey, let's go from 50% occupancy to 75% occupancy, and then let's see what happens over the next 3 to 4 weeks. And then once that's good, you go to 100% occupancy. And then you see what happens over 3 to 4 weeks. And if by then the numbers are really, really down and they're still staying down, even though you've increased everything, then you say, okay, now let's release the mask mandate. Okay, mm-hmm. I think that would have been a smarter way to go because, you know, the purpose is to make sure people don't go to the hospital or end up dying from COVID.
Sure.
And if you could guarantee me that all the high-risk people have been vaccinated, then, you know, I think that it's more reasonable to open up because then the cases aren't going to affect these people as much, okay? But I don't know that we have that. I still have lots of people in my clinic that are elderly trying to get the vaccine. They haven't been able to get it yet. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that, you know, we're still a little bit too – or it's just a little bit too early, and I wish we would have waited a little bit longer. And but I do believe in opening things back up. The numbers are down. We need to make sure we get, you know, everything rolling. And these, you know, restaurants and businesses that have been down for a year now, you know, have to be able to get back on their feet. And
right.
And so I totally agree with, you know, now that we have a reasonable number of cases, and to increase those facilities. So I think opening things back up is the right decision. You know, I just think that, hey, we could have waited just a little bit longer. And and now we just got to watch and see what happens. You know, as the mm-hmm. cases, you know, we'll probably get a slight surge. Let's hope it's not a big one, and that the people getting the, you know, hopefully the people that are catching the virus from this part forward are the young, healthy individuals where it doesn't really matter. Okay, and you know, and if that's the case, most of them weren't going to wear a mask anyway. You know. Go to a 25-year-old and tell him to wear a mask, and it's not too effective. Okay,
gotcha.
You know, they're not compliant. They're only compliant because they have to be compliant in order to get into a facility. But you know, half of them, when I see them wearing it, they got it half on their face and they're not using it correctly anyway.
Yes, sir. So are most practices like yourself still waiting to get the vaccine? So only places right now that are getting are some of the maybe larger drugstore chains?
Yeah, I think at this point right now, the counties, states, local governments all have their supplies. Some of the bigger chains of pharmacies are now, you know, CVS here in Texas is now starting to vaccinate people. Some of the bigger chains of clinics, like if you're in Baylor Healthcare Systems, I know they've had some vaccine, not a whole lot, but they've had their supply. The smaller clinics, you know, I don't think we're going to get it to the very end, most likely, because, you know, we're not high enough priority. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you look at, you know, if Coates Clinics had, you know, 6,400 clinics across the state of Texas, they'd be handing me a bunch of vaccine, okay?
Sure.
But having an individual clinic, you know, I think all of us with individual clinics will have a harder time getting our hands on the vaccine, at least until it's abundant, okay? Once there's enough of it out there, then they'll say, okay, let's start giving it to everybody, because then we can pick up the outliers, the ones that didn't get vaccinated.
Right.
And so I think that's how you'll see that play out.
Okay. One more question here. Then I want to get into a couple of just vaccine questions and let you tell us maybe some of the biggest misconceptions about the vaccine of just what you're hearing from people. But, you know, I've had a lot of people that have gone to see a doctor. They've tested positive, and the doctor just simply sent them home for 10 days and really didn't give them much guidance except just to stay home and, you know, no meds whatsoever. Why does it seem like, I guess I should phrase it that way, that many docs are afraid to, you know, give a prescription of a few things that have seemed to be working with other offices, but just don't seem to want to hand out those prescriptions real quickly?
Well, you know, that's a real tough to see, complicated answer. But what it boils down to is, you know, the FDA hasn't approved any of these products, and they've actually kind of gone out and made statements making it scary for doctors sometimes to prescribe mm-hmm. stuff. And, you know, we don't have good, clear-cut, randomized trials at this point showing what works and what doesn't work. You know, we have some trials that are showing effectiveness, and then sometimes we have trials that show that it's not effective. For instance, just a couple of days ago, JAMA released a trial on ivermectin saying that, you know, that it didn't show clinical effectiveness. Well, that was a flawed trial, okay? And that's what's so disgusting. That's what's so disappointing with this pandemic is setting up trials that are designed pretty much to fail. I mean, you know, that trial, first off, it only had 200 people in it, which is a tremendously small number for a trial in JAMA or a big journal like that. And then, you know, they showed that the ivermectin group shaved 2 days off the symptoms. They got better, I believe, in 10 days versus 12 days for the placebo, which they said is not statistically significant. They did show that 7 people progressed in the placebo group. Only 4 got severe in the treatment group. But once again, not statistically significant because the numbers aren't high enough. And that in that trial, the average age of the participant was 37 years old. That's not what we're looking for.
Right. Okay?
I mean, you know, that trial should have been designed to prevent how many prevented hospitalizations, how many prevented deaths, okay? And it should have had 2,000 people, you know, instead of 200.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, if you're going to put a trial in a major journal like JAMA talking to doctors, that's how it should be designed. And it should be designed what we're the purpose of us treating you is to make sure that you don't go to the hospital and you don't die. That's the whole reason coronavirus
sure.
is scary to begin with.
Right.
Okay? You know, if everybody just had symptoms for 10 days, no one would really care about coronavirus, okay? We would have never shut things down. It would have never been a big deal. But we're concerned because of the number of people that get deathly ill and go to the hospital and overwhelm the hospitals and the number of people that pass on from coronavirus. So those should have been the primary and secondary endpoints of the trial, not how many people test negative at 21 days, okay? I mean, you know, that are still having symptoms at 21 days. You know, that is a, in my opinion, a bad design trial, which once again leads us to bad information, okay? Because what you see on the news, ivermectin is not effective. Ivermectin is not mm-hmm. effective. Well, we don't know that, okay? And even the people that did the trial acknowledged at the end that we need larger number of trials, and this was a poorly designed trial because the you know. So why even do it? Okay, that's my question is, you're putting out bad information, which now leads to the public saying, oh, and then you got a lot of doctors that don't want to, you know, walk out there because now they're saying, oh, wait, it's not that trial showed it's not effective. I don't want to use it. Well, you got to look at the data, okay? When you're talking about an average age of 37, okay, you know, and you're, and, you know, and what, and the purpose, like I said, is to prevent hospitalizations and deaths. It was never to say, hey, ivermectin can shave symptoms from 21 days to 10 days, and, you know, that's not what we were trying to do by treating this. We're trying to make sure that we save lives, and that should be the doctor's primary goal. You do everything you can to make sure this patient doesn't have to go to the hospital, doesn't get sick enough to go to the hospital, and doesn't pass away from this disease.
Yeah.
And that's been my focus from a year ago. And so, you know, I really wish that, you know, the whole medical community would just take that same focus
mm-hmm.
and let's say, hey, what can we do to save lives? Okay, is it effective at reducing mortality, and is it effective at keeping people out of the hospital? And if the answer is yes, let's continue using it. If we find out, we got multiple studies now saying it doesn't work, then let's find something else that does. And there is actually a new drug coming out by Merck, which was extremely effective, you know. And at the 5-day interval in the early trials that they're doing, it's still in an early phase, study phase, but zero of their patients in their trial still had any virus in their system. So at the 5-day interval, that's pretty effective, okay? So that could become a new product similar to Tamiflu, that when people come into the doctor, if this thing continues to show promise, and the good thing about that drug, the side effect profile was pretty minimal. So in the if that drug becomes effective, then we have something like Tamiflu in case people can't get vaccinated
mm-hmm.
Or didn't get vaccinated. They come in and they got it. We say, hey, let's give you this. And, you know, you take a 5-day course and then you're better. You know, hopefully that continues to show the promise that it's shown in these studies. Because that would be a very, very effective way to have a second measure. And potentially, if the virus mutates and it's not effective, we still have something in our back pocket that would probably be able to treat patients also.
Sure. I tell you, man, I wish we had an hour today to go through this. We didn't get to a lot of our questions. But let me just ask you just simply, just people come in and say things about the vaccine, and you just look at them and go, that's not true. You know, you're watching too much TV. And so what are just some of the maybe two or three biggest myths, so to speak, or misconceptions that you would just want to clear up about the vaccine, and then we'll get into some other stuff next week?
Yeah, I addressed some of these before, but the biggest one I'll probably see is that it changes your DNA, okay? A lot of people are convinced that the government is injecting this vaccine in you and it changes your entire DNA structure, okay? And that's not true at all. mRNA doesn't even get into the nucleus where the DNA is, okay? It works in the cytoplasm, and your ribosomes are simply taking instructions. That's what mRNA, messenger RNA, means, that it's just instructions on how to build proteins. That's all mRNA is. So it doesn't inject into your DNA and change your DNA at all. But there's a lot of patients that truly believe that to be true. Okay, no matter how much I tell them, they are adamant that they're changing our DNA structure on purpose. Okay, that's not true.
Right.
The other one is, they're injecting a microchip in your body that they can track you for the rest of your life, okay? I hear that all the time, too, okay? Once you get that, you know, and patients will come in, hey, did you get chipped yet? You
know, like your lost dog? Yeah.
Yeah. And I tell them that that's not what they're doing. And, you know, I doubt that there's even the technology out yet that there's a microchip so small that you couldn't see it in the vial, you know, when they're injecting you, because you can see the vaccine when they inject you. It's clear liquid,
right?
And to have something that you could put in you that the battery would last forever, you know, there's just so many holes in that, flaws in that line of thinking. But there's a lot of people that truly believe that that they're injecting you with microchips and they're going to trace you forever. And I had a patient tell me that, and I said, the government can already trace you. If they want to know where you are, they can find you in 2 seconds because you carry a cell phone wherever you go with GPS tracking in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't think that they're tracking you now, you're absolutely crazy. I mean, you know, Facebook's tracking you. Google's tracking you. I mean, Google will pop up and say, hey, how did you like Outback, you know, as soon as you leave, okay?
Exactly.
You know?
I know.
You know, so, you know, they're, you know, Apple, Facebook, you know, Google, they're all tracking you right now, and they know pretty much everything about you. Now, there are some measures coming out in the next generation of cell phones that Facebook doesn't like, because it'll turn off a little bit of that tracking data. But there's still, you know, you don't have true privacy if you carry a traditional cell phone. You know, if you want privacy, you have to go all the way back to a cellular phone, cellular phone before they had GPS chips in them.
Okay? Yeah.
And that's the only way to really have, and even in your car, okay? Almost everybody's car has GPS now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're being tracked, you just don't realize it.
Right. Only about 30 seconds here, but I want to get this in real quick. A lot of people have said, okay, I've had COVID, do I still need to get the vaccine?
And the answer is yes, okay? You should, most likely, you only need one shot. There's quite a few studies now showing that people that have had COVID, they can be immunized with one shot and they get a pretty good immune response. So if you've had COVID and you go get the vaccine and after your first shot you have fever, chills, body aches, then you probably mounted a strong enough immune response and you likely don't need a second vaccine. I think that's going to be proven to be true pretty soon. We're going to find out that, hey, people that have had COVID only need one shot.
Okay. Dr. Coates, hey, as always, we appreciate it, and we will look forward to our visit next week, sir.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to being there.
All right. That was Dr. Lewis Coates. And once again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Coates' practice is in Garland, Texas. We do a show each week there in the Dallas area called Better Health, and he just shares some great information. So I wanted to share it with you, our Haystack audience. You're listening to KLZ 560. We got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills. And the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Once again, thank you so much for being with us today. Let's talk food. Let's talk the best food. Let's talk meat. Greg Bloom is with us, barbersfoods.com. Greg, always good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Man, all I do is think about all the great products we've been able to taste and enjoy in our homes since meeting you, and we have to say thank you. You have spoiled us. It's unbelievable.
Well, I appreciate your business, man. Yeah, I think we've all become foodies anymore because of the smartphone and the internet and all those cool little tasty videos. Yeah. We're all into food now.
And you know what's cool? When you look at a picture and then you look at it when you unwrap it and it matches.
Right.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, no bait and switch.
Yeah. Look at the menus of some burgers and some places and different things. Do you ever get anything like the picture? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only that, but, you know, I encourage everybody to read the labels when they go shopping conventional retail store, the one in your neighborhood that you get all your stuff at. Go just pick up the label and start reading labels. And gosh, you have to have reading glasses or a magnifying glass to see some of the stuff they don't really want you to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, conventional wet chilled chicken says in real small print, hard to see, may contain up to 6% or 8% added water. And, you know, you don't want to be eating that.
Yeah.
It's gross, you know. So that's why we sell air-chilled chicken, which we've talked about before.
Absolutely.
Doesn't go through the water dunk.
Yeah.
The bleachy water dunk. So, yeah.
And man, as I say.
And you can taste the difference.
Taste
you can taste the difference between the chicken that we source from the Pittman family in Northern mm-hmm. California and the chicken that you eat out there in the world.
So you've got, what, half a dozen, eight different kind of ranches or facilities like that are family owned that you work specifically, right?
Yeah, we find one family farm to represent for each protein category. So for chicken, we use the mm-hmm. Pittman family, and the family owns the company, and they're not small. I mean, you go to their plant, it's a big plant.
That video on your website, I mean, I highly recommend. If you don't understand what we're talking about and it's hard to describe on radio, go watch that video. You'll get a very clear picture.
Right. Yeah, it's a very efficient plant, too. It's very clean and very efficient. And and then we source our beef from a couple different ranchers that raise different kinds of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
The cattle that are Wagyu, that's a different kind of cattle and a different operation. Dan Morgan provides us with all of our Wagyu. They're about 5 hours from Denver. But that's different than where we get our Angus and where we get our organic grass-fed, you know. And then our fish come from Alaska, so that's Taryn and Kara with their own boat for catching those. And those, by the way, are on our March Madness special. If you go to our website, barbersfoods.com, barberswithanS, foodswithanS.com, you'll see our March Madness specials on the top of the webpage. And click on that, and we've discounted a lot of things for March.
Okay.
So fish,
cool.
Because a lot of people eat more fish during Lent.
Right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you've got, you were to get a little extra salmon this year.
We were. Yeah, Taryn called me about, we were about sold out from, you know, the initial order we gave Taryn. And then Taryn called me because of COVID, his food service business tanked, and he had a food service distributor that sells restaurants in Seattle with all that's going on in Seattle.
Sure.
Crazy. But he had four pallets sitting in a warehouse going nowhere, so we took it. Right. We have it now in our warehouse, so we're selling it. And it's on the website. So okay. You help Taryn and Kara move their fish that they caught themselves, hauled in the boat themselves, all
sure.
that.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff, and we 100% guarantee it. And it's on sale right now. So.
And those are individual kind of pack, or not individual package fillets, but those are individual fillets in a pack,
yeah,
right?
There's two ways to buy it. You can buy the whole fillet. And they're pretty consistent in size, and they're in a 20-pound box. Or if you'd prefer the little 6-ounce portions, you can buy a 10-pound box of 6-ounce portions. Mm-hmm. It's the same fish, just packaged
right.
differently.
Absolutely.
Yep.
It is barbersfoods.com. And, hey, very good way to go on and order. And, you know, you can do it just as often as you like, or if you want to get on some kind of monthly subscription, so to speak, all the different ways there that you can do it. And we'll mention right now our meat ambassadors, so let's talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, well, we wanted to, you know, our mission is to connect you to your food. It's on our brochures and on our website, and it's hard to connect people through their food through the web. Because, you know, I can ask you why you think, but I think there's just too much information on the web and on our smartphones, and we're just overwhelmed with information, and so it's kind of hard to tell the story, and I really need 3 to 5 minutes with someone to explain the Pittman family and the process and air-chilled and the breeds they use, and people aren't going to give me 5 minutes on the internet.
Right.
They're not. They're going to give me 33 seconds and then keep scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
So the food ambassadors allow us to train people in depth about the proteins, why we source them, and how they're raised, and how they're not raised, and about everything there is to know. And then they can tell their network, you know. And now with COVID lifting, we're going to have every other week chef demos downtown. So our food ambassadors can learn culinary skills for free by going downtown, and those will be on our website soon. We've been kind of waiting for COVID to kind of lift, and it's starting to lift. It's easing up. So I would think by May, June, anyone that wants to make a little extra side money representing high quality family farms, just to your own family and friends.
Exactly.
We're not asking you to,
go be a rep of Northern Colorado.
Yeah, you don't need to drive door to door. No.
Right. So. Absolutely. Greg Bloom is our guest. It is Barber's Foods, barbersfoods.com. Go check out their website. They do a great job explaining all the different packages, so to speak. And by that, I mean there are some different boxes of different things that you can get. And so, Greg, you've got a couple of selections where somebody kind of wants to get a family pack. There's something that kind of comes in that to get them introduced to you, and then just several different options for them.
Yeah, we have the families pack A and B. They're big and small, and just based on your family size, it's a nice way to try a variety of products. So you get, you know, 8 different items in a box. And we just added recently something that you mentioned is when you check out, you can click on, I want this to be a one-time sale, or I want this to be my monthly subscription. Or you can click the frequency of your subscription every 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever you want. And that way you don't have to think about it. Just every 6 weeks, here comes some meat. You know, kind of like the milkman. I have the milkman, and, you know, unless I go online and change it, it's coming to my house.
Right.
And it's nice because I don't have to remember, oh, yeah, I forgot to order milk.
Nothing worse than pouring that bowl of cereal and walking over and either no milk or it's 3 weeks old.
Yeah, right? I just can't eat chocolate chip cookies without milk. I just can't do it. It just isn't happening.
Absolutely.
So, that's another thing. I would encourage people to check our website out very frequently because we change it every day. We add new items. We make it easier. We make it better. We actually sell, Scott, you're going to laugh because you and I are carnivores.
Yeah.
We're carnivores and we love our meat, but I sell a very high quality plant-based made in Colorado product now.
Okay.
That's really good.
Well, Victoria will probably
so
try
that's
that.
There yeah. and, it's very competitive and it's, I think the best tasty one on the market. So, in fact, we made some chili 2 nights ago. We didn't tell the kids and they thought it was beef.
Really?
They didn't know.
So even you, with your beef experience, it's
hard.
Pretty tasty.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to always choose beef over plant-based stuff. But what if you have some friends over from church or your neighbors, you know, over for dinner, and one of them says, I'm sorry, but I don't eat meat. And you don't argue with them, like, are you an idiot? You don't, you know, you'd be polite and like, why? You know, you just, oh, okay, cool. Well, how about some plant-based Colorado product? You want to try some of that? You know, so we sell it. And it's in very convenient, easy-to-use one-pound packages.
Cool. You've also got some rice and beans.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. We are selling so many pounds. I'm talking truckloads. We sell truckloads of rice and beans now in one-pound bags and in 50-pound bags. Some of it's the preppers.
Right.
They're getting ready for who knows what, or they're just stocking up. Some people just like rice and beans, and they're actually delicious. We got some recipes coming out that we did. We did a contest with Metropolitan State University that just ended last Friday, and we gave prizes for first, second, and third for five different categories of beans: pinto beans, black-eyed beans, rice and beans, and then one other bean dish. And we had 37 entries. And they are awesome. They're awesome. The, just the quality of these recipes. A lot of these students are from overseas. They're from Middle East. So they have completely different idea about how you make black beans taste good. And they, boy, they know what they're doing. I mean, America, we really didn't eat black beans until Chipotle and Qdoba put them on a burrito. Really?
I know. You're right.
But that's really neglecting the quality of that protein. It's really actually very delicious. So.
Sure.
Yeah. So if you need beans for your home, your school, your business, we sell a lot of beans to food banks because they like them for giving away. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about options of how they can get it to their house.
Great. Yeah. They can go to barbersfoods.com and order and check out. They can ask for a pickup. They can say, I'm going to pick it up. And then when they do that, they get a credit for their next purchase. They save 10% off their next purchase.
Okay.
So because it costs money to ship product in that styrofoam container in those with those gel packs. So we're passing the savings along to them if they want to pick up. But as you know, we're not hard to get to.
Absolutely.
Nope. We're right off I-25 and I-70 and several ways to get there from either I-25 or I-70 or that intersection. Or we're glad to ship. We ship UPS two-day in Colorado and or in the Denver metro area, we have trucks out every day. So if you order and you're in the Denver metro area or in the Boulder area or somewhere between Denver and the Springs, we're just going to put it on your front porch with our own truck.
Yeah. Hey, and I've said before, and I mean it on this show, hey, after the show, I'm free. You order something, Greg will let me know. I'll go get it, and I'll drop it off for you. So we just want you to try this because I'm telling you, it's such a better feeling even. I mean, even just a feeling, Greg, of just – sitting there cutting that steak or cutting that chicken and know where it came from. You're supporting a good family. You're supporting your own health, immune system. We just got through seeing Dr. Stedman, which does a show with us together.
Yeah.
And you know, and boy, I mean, he's so excited about this because, man, he goes, this is what people need to do is eat good quality food and still stay on a reasonable budget with it. I mean, very reasonable at your prices.
Right. Yeah, our prices are, you know, an average retail store buys on price. They know that consumers buy on price, so they buy on price, which is why I encourage people to read the food label. For example, hams. There's a lot of tricks played with ham. The hams that we sell from the Beeler family, they're just natural hams. But there's also called ham and water product, where they grind up all the bits and pieces of ham from the process and then add it back like a syringe into a muscle, add it back into the ham, and then, you know, it's cheaper ham. And that's a lot of times when you go shop for hams, and if you read the labels, you have to understand what these things, ham and water, or a lot of hams, if you read the label, it says, you know, what percent of water is in that ham. 28% water added.
You need to ring it
out first. 28% or 14% water added ham.
Right.
You want a natural juice, natural ham, cured with just smoke and minimal ingredients. That's what we sell. And you can buy that same ham in retail that we sell, but you're going to pay more for it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, you know what? Have you ever thought of buying wholesale? I mean, that's basically what you're doing here. And again, it's barbersfoods.com. And don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to tell you a little bit more how you can get your Easter ham and not have to stand in line. We'll be right back.
Is your vision stopping you from enjoying your outdoor activities? Hi, this is Scott Watley for Stack Optical. Get by Stack Optical today and check out the Stack Sports Pack. One great frame where you can easily interchange the lenses to the tint you need for golf, bike riding, shooting, fishing, and yes, even driving. Stack Optical, family owned and operated. They're fully staffed and ready to help you with all of your optical needs, from eye exams, glasses, contacts, and yes, even repairs. And rest assured, Stack Optical has taken every precaution to ensure your safety and that you have a clean environment. 2233 South Monaco Parkway. 303-321-1578. Call them now. 303-321-1578. StackOptical.com. And remember, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Hi, Jack Corrigan for Len Lyle Chevrolet. Len Lyle Chevrolet is open and safe. It's truck month, and they have the best deals of the year on all trucks and SUVs, like up to $10,000 off on half-ton Silverados. Or come check out the all-new Tahoes and Suburbans for 2021. Len Lyle has been there for 35 years, and low overhead really does mean low prices. Check them out on the web, LenLyleChevy.com. Go east and pay the least. Chevy. Find new roads.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are. What are their feelings? I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Kelp Radio. Greg Bloom is with us from Barber's Foods. Once again, the website, barbersfoods.com. A lot of great specials on there. We just mentioned the March Madness special, and you can go on there, and everything is very easy to understand. You can see all the different products that we will talk about when Greg is here with us. And we just mentioned the ham, Greg, and I tell you, boy, that ham is unbelievable. And, hey, I've mentioned all the other ones that we've all done our whole life. Before we met you, you order them at the little store and run over and stand in line with a bunch of people and have no idea, except it's, I guess the big term is a honey-baked ham, and everybody thinks that's the latest, greatest thing, but your ham is absolutely delicious, and I don't have to go wait in line and order it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if they go to barbersfoods.com and click on March Madness Specials, they'll see one of the items there is the Beeler's spiral sliced ham. So that's a bone-in ham, spiral sliced, fully cooked. You only have to open the package and eat it. That's, you don't even need to heat it up. In fact, I think the natural meat flavor comes out best at room temperature or slightly chilled, or chilled rather than when you heat it up.
Right.
So I encourage people, don't heat that ham up. Just eat it cold. Or if you heat it up, be careful because you can over-dry it.
But sure.
It's a delicious ham, and it's half the price, maybe a quarter price of the Honey Baked Ham store price. And when you buy from them, I mean, they do a great job merchandising hams, no doubt, but you have no idea what farm it came from.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. That's not what they're trying to help you figure out.
No, they're just trying to sell ham, and who cares?
Yeah. Well, we know the Beeler family personally, and how they raise their pigs, and how they don't use gestation crates, and how they use a non-GMO diet. So, yeah, I mean, I think that all people have to do is order that ham one time. And if they order it between now and March 22nd, and that date's on the website for that item, they can still get it by Easter.
Okay.
But if they don't get it before then, they probably won't get it by Easter.
All right.
Easter's Sunday, April 4th.
Yeah, a little early.
It's coming up fast.
I'm telling you.
3 weeks, yeah.
And so. Time changes.
That's right. That's this month too.
Yeah. I mean, it's next week, isn't it, Charlie?
I don't even know.
Time change to this Sunday? It's Saturday night? Yeah, we turn
our clocks. Is it this week? I didn't even know that. I'm glad you said
that. Spring forward. Yeah, absolutely.
Been late to church again. Yeah, exactly. No, spring forward. I've been there an hour early.
Yeah, you'll be early. All right. Hey, we cannot get out of here without talking a little bit about what our governor just came out with a week or so ago about the 20th, where he suggested no one eat meat. So I got with Greg, and I said, Greg, what can we do to, you know, help this cause? So we've come up with a little special here. So, Greg, what can we do?
Well, the Governor Polis special is if you order, we'll have this on the web soon, but it's just kind of unofficial now that every order that we get this month, we're going to also donate a pound of ground beef or meat and send it to Governor Polis's office at the end of the month.
All right.
So people, and that'll, you know, if he doesn't want to eat it, then he can donate it to someone who will. But we're gonna send him a package. And you know what he's doing is some of the governors in this country that you know, there's really just two sides now. There's two camps. There's two sides of the fence. There's those that believe we should stop animal agriculture. We should stop eating meat for various reasons. Some of them believe the Bill Gates mantra that it's causing environmental damage, which it isn't. Mm-hmm. We've got plenty of studies to show that meat production is less than 2% of the carbon emissions, you know, causing greenhouse gases,
right.
And it's going down all the time. Whereas people really want to help the environment, stop driving a car and getting on an airplane. But they've been kind of duped by two big companies, Scott, in the food business. One of them's called Impossible. The Impossible Burger, Impossible Meats, and the other one is Beyond Meats. Both of those companies, their stated mission is to end animal agriculture. They want to stop animal agriculture because they believe that it's wrong, morally wrong, ethically wrong. If you listen to their TED Talks, they'll tell you that. So they've got quite a few people on their side, and they got millions and millions and millions of dollars. They just joint ventured with McDonald's. They're in the boardrooms. They send these really well-dressed, articulate young people into boardrooms and convince board members that we got to stop animal agriculture because we're causing greenhouse gas and we're going to kill the planet. And these people don't have enough sense to say, I want to see the other data set.
Sure.
They just believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what's going on. We're seeing that kind of develop in our country right now, this anti-meat sentiment. It's more socially out there than anything else. They're not trying to legislate us out. But actually, if you look at the docket for the Colorado legislature right now, there's more and more anti-animal bills on there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we got to fight against that. We can't just stand beside and like, oh, let that roll over us and we'll all stop eating meat and end animal agriculture when it's not true what they're saying. But our governor, unfortunately, has joined the camp of many other governors, especially the progressive liberal ones that want us to stop eating meat, unfortunately.
All right. So help us out here. Go to barbersfoods.com. Once again, you place your order for some beef and then
we'll make a donation.
We'll make a donation.
That's right.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
For your order, then we will send a pound from your donation to the governor there, and we will still sell some meat. And I was just reading during the break here, just one, for instance, Nebraska governor. I mean, he's declared the 20th a meat day in support of ranchers and all that. And that's the way you
Yeah, those are all family
people.
Farms. Those are not big corporate entities. They're not Amazon. They're family farms that they're hurting. And so I tell people, the Colorado Cattlemen's Association and many other ag groups in Colorado are asking people to go to the grocery store the day before March 20th or on March 20th and sell out the case, buy everything. So that's great if you want to help. That's great. But you can also call Barber's Foods, go to our website, and we won't sell out of everything because we have truckloads of products.
Right,
but
you do.
But you could do the same thing, and you could increase your meat consumption, stock up your freezer, and we've got some March Madness specials to help you save. We've got ground beef right there now, Colorado-produced, great, high-quality natural ground beef on sale now. You can fill up your freezer. You can't buy it cheaper at the store than you can from us.
And I recently, did an ad for you guys, and I'm trying to remember. I even set a price in there. There was something I read that was $2.99 a pound.
Right.
All right. I mean, and we're talking about premium quality meat, Greg.
Yeah, that's our Barber's Farm ground beef. It's $2.99 a pound. And we had a guy call us off the probably listening to this radio call this morning and said, I don't think your prices are right. It says $53.82, and it shows me a pound of ground beef. And we said, oh, I'm sorry, you got to keep reading. That's for 18 pounds. That's a case price. Gotcha. So then he did the math. So we went in and fixed it, like put it in here real clear. Now it's $2.99 a pound.
Okay.
So our prices are not like crazy. They're reasonable. Yeah. No. Yeah.
And hey, you know what? In turn, we're helping you, but we're also supporting a good family-owned company here in Colorado, and that's what we need to do. And Greg, that's going to be the secret in turning this all around, is us helping each other, supporting local business, and man, we need to get this turned around.
Yeah, we need to go back to Main Street values, you know, the values that existed back, you know, when people lived in small towns and supported mm-hmm. the merchants on Main Street. I grew up in Brighton on a farm, and we had Bridge Street and Main Street, you know, and we supported all those merchants on that corner and up and down Main Street. But then what happened is, you know, the 80s came and Walmart came, and then Kmart came before that, and then people sure. started shopping Price. And Main Street went away. But we can go back to those values by supporting, you know, when you support barbers, you're supporting a Colorado family company. I'm a Colorado native. I own the mm-hmm. company. Support me and my four kids and my wife and then all of the families that we source from. They're all family companies.
Right.
With the similar values that your listeners have.
Sure. Absolutely. Barbersfoods.com. Go on. Check it out. Place your order today. And we will make sure somehow, some way to get it to you. If you want to pick it up, great. If you need it shipped, if you need us to drop it off, we'll get it there. And you will absolutely love this. And I promise you, it will change the way your family eats. And just great, great products. And Greg, I love, too, your experience because you can even help us with the preparation because needless to say, it doesn't help to have it really good and us not know how to do anything with it. So you are very good at explaining very simply how to prepare some of these things, or all these things, really.
Yeah, people get intimidated by meat because it's expensive and they're not used to cooking it at home like, you know, has happened during COVID. I frequently still get asked, and I can't believe that people don't know how to do this, but they ask me, how do I cook a steak right? Because they just go to a steakhouse and it's great. Mm-hmm. And they try it at home and not so great. You know, and they don't know, you don't put it in the oven at 250 for 4 hours, like a roast. You know, a roast, you go low and slow, or a brisket. But a steak needs to be hot as your grill will go. And if you don't have a grill outside that'll go hot, don't waste that piece of meat. Get a piece of cast iron from Cabela's or Walmart. Just get a piece of cast iron somewhere.
Right.
It's cheap. And put some butter in there or some shortening or something, and then cook it in cast iron because you can make cast iron hot. And it comes out great. Hmm. You know, just 2 or 3 minutes on each side, or a little longer if you like your steaks medium. But that's the way you cook a steak is high temperature because you sear in the juices.
Yeah.
And it don't walk away. That's they put it on the grill and they walk away and then – they forget about it, and they come back, and it's on fire.
Then it's really hot. All right. Hey, don't forget, let's send Governor Polis a nice package of beef.
Yeah.
All right. Help us out. Barbersfoods.com. Greg, thank you so much, bud. We'll look forward to our next visit.
Good to see you.
Thank you for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.